Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Understanding is ours again today. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Understanding Genesis, series 2, part 9. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for great men that has done a great work. This is a book that looks so mysterious. What is happening? Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. But thank God for understanding so far. Amen. Praise God. So, well, we should be stopping this at part 10. So tomorrow, please ensure you have your questions ready. Send me your questions today, tonight, preferably on what I have taught, please, not on areas I have not covered. So tomorrow, it should just be to answer the question. The past 10 should just be to answer the questions. Amen. Are you with me? So, verse 6. Are you there? For when we are yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for when we were enemies, say enemies. Okay, when we are enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay, let's start from there. The word enemies there, that's a Greek word, ektros. E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S. E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S. It said when we are yet enemies, when we are yet hostile, when we are yet an adversary. When we are yet a foe. So I can tell you that this is talking about mankind in general. It was not specific. It was just talking, is this a general statement? Because looks like the general man or the universal man has been at war against God since creation. But don't forget, it's not specific. For instance, Abel was not part of those people now that is mentioning. Amen? It's not part of those who we can say enemies. So it's just a general term for humanity. Amen. So he said, when we are yet enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Amen. So when we are yet an adversary, hostile, hateful. Genesis 2, verse 7. So don't forget what we call this gospel. This gospel of his son, it was not new. Jesus only came to demonstrate it. He came to express it. The gospel has been there since Genesis 1. Since Genesis 1, let there be light, there was light. We have seen that is a declaration of the gospel. When we see Genesis 1:27, when he said, I want to make man in my own image, that is an announcement of the man in the mind of God, the announcement of the new creation. Amen. Who is the image? Colossians 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? So clearly, God made his intention known. I want all men to be in Christ. Please, this is not about religion. Stop meeting men on the street, asking them, what is your religion? Are you a Christian or a Muslim? Please don't do things like that. Push it out straight. Push out the gospel. The gospel is for all men. Amen. So Genesis 2, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Verse 11, and he said, who told thee that you are naked? Can you see? So, one thing that was being repeated here, at least three times, we found the word naked. Are you with me? Verse 7, naked is there. So, verse 8, they hid themselves. Verse 10, because I was naked. Verse 11 again, naked. So, yesterday, we discovered that word naked, that should be somewhere in the book of Numbers, is a depiction of what? Of death, repercussion of sin, death. So God never, so this is the question. See that question in verse 11? He said, who told thee that you are naked? Verse 9 is where the drama would have started. God said, Adam, where are you? Is it that he doesn't know where he is? How can God be asking somebody, where are you? His eyes is not everywhere. That is to tell you that this is just not, this is a drama that Moses script for us. This is Moses trying to script for us the drama of sin, how it happened. Don't see this as an actual occurrence that happened per time, like in time. No. This is a script to explain something. Same way, just like parables of Jesus, at times you read the whole parable, all you just need to bring out is what is the conclusion. You don't always have to explain the fig, the leaf, this one. Especially like that parable of the prodigal son, it's just best to bring out the conclusion. Don't interpret what is swine, what is the man, what is the journey, what is riotous living. Don't always bother about all that. Bring out the real what? Conclusion. So be focused more on the conclusion. But of course, since this one is creation, it's good we say a bit more about it. So this is how you will know that this was Moses searching the creation. He was searching sin. That's why you are seeing God asking questions. Like God does not know. God said, then where are you? Say, who told you that you are naked? See God asking questions like he doesn't know. So also we can also safely say that God never caused man. Are you with me? Those are the conclusions I'm saying we can safely bring out. I'm not saying you necessarily interpret the river of Ethiopia is this, the river of... Please, I beg you. Amen? So, we can safely say God never causes man. Don't forget, he is man. Man is his man. Man is his delight. The object of his security. The object of his mercy. That is man. So, rather... In all the sin, the action of God that Moses gave us was in verse 21. He said, and don't forget, all the others he said, we are able to trace it that, okay, these things are just observation. We can't really say these are the consequence of sin. It is later that Paul told us that it is death, separation. So, Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also, this is the only action that Moses was able to depict for us. The action, not just words, action. Unto Adam also and to his wife did God did what? Made coat of skin. And what did he do? Clothed them. Don't forget, three times we found the word naked, right? The problem is nakedness. What did we see God do immediately? He clothed them. Praise God. So, while man was complaining about nakedness, God yet clothed him. So, now think about it. Why will God clothe a man and after clothing him, again, he sent him out of the garden? That would be a schizophrenic God. That would be a God that does not know what he's doing. If he truly want to punish them, why didn't he send them out naked? Why will you clothe them out of my presence? If that is the way you want to interpret it. So, that out of the garden... I tell you, is man that left. What we just saw is God, despite the sin of man, he was still pursuing man with mercy, with atonement, with reconciliation. Yet man ran away. But God followed. See, God is not the enemy. The war with God was one-sided. I think I learned that from Pastor Nainga. That the war that man was fighting with God was a war, one-sided war. One-sided. Just think of it. That means all the blows, All the punch were coming from one direction. We call it a war, but the blow, yes, it's a war, but the blow, the punch, everything was coming from one direction, not both directions. Not both directions. Are you with me? It's man that has been at war against God. And think about it. Even God himself later told us, don't repay evil for evil. So when man was throwing his punch, God was not retaliating. Amen. Praise God. I told you, do you know why God cannot curse man? If God really truly curse man, it will take all that is called God to ensure that curse comes to pass. That would mean there will be no redemption. Do you get? When God said, I want to bless man, so he took all that is called God to bless man. That is why even he said, according to his, anything God wants to do, he will use all his power. So when he was to save us, remember Ephesians 1:19, right? Now you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, which he wrought where in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand, right? So, and chapter 2, verse 1, I told you that what's there? Huh? And you, who are what? Dead in your what? Sins and trespasses, are you what? Quickened together. Come on. Dead, sins, trespasses, yes? According to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that work in the next verse, yes? Loss of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and by nature, children of wrath. Next verse is what I'm looking for, yes? Rich in mercy. When we are dead in sin, he quickened us together with who? Christ. So when he was raising Christ in chapter 1, did he leave us? No, we were raised together. What's the next verse? Yes? And has raised us together, made us sit together. So that would mean when God said, I will bless man, he used actually all his power. So if God had caused man, what would he have used? All his power. That would be serious. That would have been the true definition of that Deuteronomy 28 from verse 16 to 64. You will turn to the right, you will see danger. You turn to the left, you will see thunder. Praise God. But no, that is not our God. That's not our God. So also, we saw what Adam was. We saw what Adam was after that made him heir from God. We saw what Adam was after. I think we have seen that in this series, that Adam was not actually after bad things. Amen? He was not actually after bad things of life. He was actually after good things. We saw what Adam was after that he actually heard. He was actually after good things. He was actually after, in fact, things that God himself provided. It was after legitimate things, good things. But the issue is, he was not devoting his time to become the man in God's image. He was not devoting his attention to become that man in God's image. But he was actually after good things. We saw the good things. Please refer back to part 7 and 8 for you to know what I'm talking about. So, let's look again at the ages. Let's leave it there right now. Let's see something in the ages. I call this one the voice of man's rebellion. The voice of man's rebellion. That is the subtopic of this one. So, Genesis 6 verse 4. Be fast. See God's woman teaching to go today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis 6 verse 4. The voice of man's rebellion. Okay. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the Son of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Of course, we have tried this yesterday. And what we could conclude that this was talking about was the earth was filled with violence. So right, violence. In the age of Noah, what we could see, the real sin, the real act of sin, is what we can call violence. But don't forget, he said every imagination of the what? Of the thoughts of the heart. But the action to that imagination will be violence. That is what Moses tried to depict to us in form of giants. So I beg you, the same giants that they saw when they were to go and possess the promised land, which is Canaan, which rather they thought it was Canaan. So that Hebrew word Nephilim was used just that place in Numbers and in Genesis. So don't make a doctrine out of it saying you are thinking of angels and something. No, this is just scripted by Moses depicting something. So in that age, we saw violence. Please pay attention and don't lose this. Rush to Genesis 18, verse 20. Let's see Sodom and Gomorrah. What was peculiar to that age again? Genesis 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, please don't lose this. This is very key. If we get this, you have understood everything I'm saying from series 1 and series 2. Amen, amen. Okay, Genesis 18, 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it when it's come unto me. And if not, I will know. Of course, if you read the next chapter, you will understand that when they finally got to Sodom, what was the issue? Homosexuals, right? So we found fornication, we found homosexuals all rampant. So write that down. So now, you can easily say these are obvious bad stuff, right? So the voice of their rebellion, in times of Noah, the voice of their rebellion, you can call that violence. In Sodom and Gomorrah, the voice of their rebellion, you can call it homosexuals, perversions, sexual sins. But I tell you, if you are focused on those things, you will lose what is truly happening. Funny enough, come back to Genesis 11. What do you think happened in the Tower of Babel? Genesis 11 verse 4. Be fast. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Are you looking at that? Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad and upon the face of the whole earth. What do you think is happening there? You think? I need words from you. What can you call this whole thing you are saying here? Yes, this is 11 verse 4. What can you call it? Think. Just give me a grammar. Don't say rebellion yet. What are they trying to do? You say independence? Ma? Ambition, yes. Any other thing? You don't use independence yet. They're not trying to be independent now. But there's something they are doing. Yes, independence is the key thing. That's a rebellion. But something, what is the cover-up? Can we call that innovation? Huh? Can we call that innovation? Can we call that like, I don't want to use the word technology yet. But can we call that innovation? Now, CEO, it's funny. In Sodom and Gomorrah, why were they scattered? You will say homosexuals, right? In Noah, why did judgment come? You say violence. So what bad thing have these people done? Point to it. What is bad in building a tower? They are not going to, they will not have got to heaven before. So it's not that God was scared that they will reach heaven. They reach heaven. Which one? The one that you have taken plane down there after even with rocket everything. Nobody is yet there today. Are you with me? So, hey, hold on, just follow me. Go to Exodus 1, verse 6. You will understand before I'm done. Just don't worry, don't make a rapid conclusion. Exodus 1, verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all his other generation. Exodus 1, verse 7. I'm sure you are there, writing as much as you can. Reading. Verse 7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and was exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Come on, read verse 8 and 9 for me. Come on. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we. Oh God. Okay, hold on. Keep that information. No, later Hebrew, the book of go to Hebrews. Please keep that information. They were mighty, right? They were multiplying. They were getting blessed of God. They were, but only 70 of them came to Egypt. They multiplied till they became millions. They were really like good stuffs. Awesome. Now go to Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed. Of course, not talking to you, talking to the man that is still rejecting, contemplating whether to accept so great a salvation. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you and what? Evil acts of unbelief in what? Departing from the living God. Pastor Jeremy taught us this Hebrews very well. Now, see verse 13. But exhort one another today, daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be adding true sin, is it true sin? No. To us, the deceitfulness of sin. That Greek word is apat, apate, through the delusion. Apat, delusion. Deceit of sin, delusion. Trick of sin, the lie that sin can bring. The similar thing was what was found in Hebrews 12 verse 1. Wherefore, sin, we are compassed. I said, apathy, it means delusion or deceit, trick. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Wherefore, sin, we are what? Compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us what? First, don't forget, the cloud of witness were the people we mentioned in Hebrews 11. Not just, you don't call, just call them, it was a specific, not just dead saints. Now, let us lay aside every what? Weight and the sin. In your mind, please bracket the whole. Which doth so easily beset? That is all one Greek word. The whole of which doth so easily beset is one Greek word. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That word, yeah, Jesus. How do we pronounce this? E-U-P-E-R-I-S-T-A-T-O-S. E-U-P-E-R-I-S-T-A-T-O-S. Euparistatos. Something like that. Okay? It actually means twatting. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that twats. Twat, like, is it twat or how do you pronounce that one? T-H, right? W-A-R-T. So, the issue is not the sin. The issue is what they are using the sin to accomplish. Are you with me? Twatting. Twatting. They use the sin as a vehicle away from God. In Sodom, they use homosexual as a vehicle to run away. Are you with me? So, because don't forget, when God is not filling your mind, something else will. So, the issue is not the something else. The issue is that your mind, your heart is not filled with God. Don't worry, you understand what I'm saying? So, the issue is not the something else. The issue is that your heart is not actually filled with God. Just hold on. So, the homosexual in Sodom was not the issue. The issue was what they are using the homosexual to replace. Because, funny enough, in the Tower of Babel, there is nothing, there was nothing that we could call moral sins. It's rather a race from God after innovation. A race from God. But afterwards, innovation. Using that to take the place of man's devotion. Using that to take the place of man focusing on Genesis 1:27. Now, don't forget, we read Exodus 1 the other time, right? When we saw that they became mighty in Egypt. They had good things in Egypt. This one is just the one that is too funny. Now, go back to Exodus 16, verse 3. So that you don't just use those portions to preach actions, actions, action. The issue is that grand finale unbelief. Don't forget that Genesis, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. That is where it starts from. So what you now saw as the action were just accessory. Accessory. Amen. So I call it Exodus 16 verse 2, right? Is it 3? Okay, thank you. Verse 3. Good. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Woe to God, we are died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by what? The flesh pot, my God. And when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with what? Hunger." So, can you see why they actually became oppressed in Egypt? The pleasure, the abundance, the good things that they received was used as a what? Weapon. As an accessory. As a tool. Away from God's consciousness. That was why, when they left, what they were clamoring for was the what? Flesh pot. Well, if that one is not clear enough, this one will drive it home for you. Numbers, chapter 11, verse 5. Numbers, 11, verse 5. This is just so bad. So bad. One, two, go. Okay, I'll wait for you. People are not there. Just to see writing. I guess it's somewhere in between. Okay, let's read everybody. Yes? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic, my God. So you can see that it's not always about sin. Anything could have taken them away. When a man is in rebellion, he will use anything as an accessory, as cover up. That is why Sodom and Gomorrah were not judged for being homosexuals. No, they were judged for that voyage they embarked away from God. Anything could have taken them away. It doesn't have to be violence like in days of Noah. Romans 1, verse 19. Please, I'm not just saying this from the blues. We have done close to 15 parts before this. Series 1 is on the website, edifyassembly.org. Series 2 will be uploaded when Papa comes. Romans 1, verse 19. Are you there now? Oh, are you getting this, Brian? Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. 20, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. Being what? Understood. Wow. By the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. We have dealt with that, right? So check series 4 and series 5. Part 4 and 5 in this series. Because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. 22, professing themselves to be wise, what happened? They became fools. So now, because they did not want to retain God in their thinking, they have to put something else in that thinking. They have to put something else in that thinking. Since they don't want God to be active in their imagination, they have to put other imaginations to push away God. Don't forget, God said he has done all them. He said, that which may be known of God is already manifest in them. So rather, what man was doing, the world man was fighting, is to use other imaginations to pursue God. To run away from God. So, the best way to shut God out was for them to fill the heart, the thinking, with other lusts. With other lusts. Don't be one-sided. Don't focus on the lust. Focus on what man is trying to achieve by the lust, by those actions. So, verse 23, and changed. Can you see that word? They changed. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. Are you with me? So they changed something, right? 24, wherefore God also gave them up. I've told you, God is not active in that equation of giving up. To uncleanness through the loss of their own hearts. Don't forget, how did God give them off? 23 already told you, they changed. They changed that glory of the corruptible God into the image made like to corruptible men. So God gave them up to uncleanness through the loss of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worship and serve the what? Creature more than the creator. Can you see that? So they were replacing the God consciousness in them with idolatry. Who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also, the men, so these are the accessories you are seeing. It's not the real problem. The issue is that they don't want God there. So they will have to put other things to what? Come on, are you with me? To replace him. So likewise, also the men living the natural use of the women turn in their loves one towards another, men with men, walking that which is unseemly and receiving where? In themselves, that recompense of their error, which was proper, which is physical consequence of sin. I've explained that to you. So, that is how the journey was made. Now, the next series of actions you saw, they were only tools, accessories. Are you with me? They were only accessories, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, can you see that? That is the issue. Don't forget that. Don't just read. What we just have to do is to read all those plenty things. We forget that main issue. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not what convenient. How did God give them over? They did not retain God in their knowledge. Simple. The God giving over is passive. The not retaining God in their knowledge is active. That's the active part. So this one is a depiction of what they are doing. 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, these are the tools. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. What's the next word there? Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable or merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, see that word though. Not only do the same, right? But what? Have pleasure in them that do them. So, let me just say this. Well, if, you know, hey, don't hate me. So, if you see a man, for instance, who's football is the voice of his rebellion. Bible now said that it's not only those who do the same, but also have what? Pleasure in them that do them. Selah. I leave that to you to answer, to crack that riddle. I'm reading the Bible to you. That will mean you must not, anyway, don't worry, before, just finish this, finish. Don't run away before I finish, okay? That is why, don't forget, we are not talking about bad things, but the intention. You can use your fan of a man can be your own voice of rebellion. Do you get that? Not that is not the issue, but that can be what you are riding on away from God. And you ask some people, who is your best musician? You heard them. Okay, fine. So, therefore, you can travel from here to Australia to watch that guy. You can squander your money for this guy. You can, You are now riding on something. Focus. Don't worry. So, funny enough, those things you are seeing there, believers still do them. Am I lying? No. But write this down, please. Believers, if possible in capital letters, they don't use those things above as an escape route from God. Those things you are seeing there, sorry, believers still do them. If I say believers don't do them, I'm lying. That's why believers, they have forgiveness of sin. But no believer will use those things as what? An escape route away from God. Don't forget, I'm not saying go ahead and do anything. No. Of course, upon salvation, the Spirit of God makes us better. It makes our conduct even better. Let's see the way Galatians 5 puts this, and I will explain some words for you in there. I will start wrapping this up. It's not meant to be long, but it's meant to broaden your understanding. Amen. Say intention. So it's not just what you do. It's why are you doing what you are doing? Hey. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk where? In the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, not the Holy Spirit, please. And the spirit against the flesh, this is talking about man, he was the motions of sin. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you won't. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. 19, now the works of the flesh, they are manifest, which are what? This, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seductions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which what do such things shall not what inherit the kingdom of God. Now you understand better that latter part now. Why will they not inherit? Is it the things or because or the what they are using the things to achieve? Now let me explain just some. No, you can just read this and you just overlook some details there. For instance, why does he use drunkenness? Drunkenness in that place, it means mente, almost like methane. M-E-T-H-E, methane. It means intoxication. Remember the same Bible told Timothy to use little wine for something, right? So why? But who is a drunkard? Why is it not drunkenness? At least we all know, at least that one is common. Have you seen a drunken man before? Number one, he makes an habit of it. The things you are seeing here, they are not an act, they are an habit. Something that you pursue. Something you hold dear. Something you hype loud. See, you saw a word there too. You saw variance. Well, what is the meaning of variance? Variance means, that is in Greek word, eris, E-R-I-S, eris. It means contention, strive. Some people, their whole life is strive, contention. You see a word like seduction there. People just look at fornication, adultery, and they are just seeing action. These things, they are profession. Profession. See, seduction is a Greek word, dikos, tasia. D-I-C-H-O, S-T-A-S-I-A. D-I-C-H-O, S-T-A-S-I-A. It means disunity. That is seduction. Division. Dissension. Have you seen somebody that is always against the norm? It's just always against moving forward. He's always an opposer in the argumentative person. You saw another word, heresy. This one is key. Heresy. Of course, heresy is that we call heresy. Put right your ear, then put E-S-I-S. Yeah, the one on top, the big one you can't do. Write your weaver. Yeah. Then put E-S-I-S. H-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. Of course, heresy means to form an opinion, a sect. In fact, in the Greek, it's used for of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees. Something arising from a division. Having your own opinion. Jehovah's Witness. A canker. Latter day. You just want to have, that's your own special opinion. Only you. Away from the world. So these are things men take a stand with. Things that men used to take a stand. Things men used to form a profession, a voyage, a journey they embark away from God. Not just the act, but the profession itself. I first said profession. A consciousness. An habit. It doesn't always have to be bad. Think about it. Think of some nations of the world today. Wow. Some are so devoted to technology. Trust me, is technology bad? No. Are we not using technology right now? We are using it. The camera, the microphone, what I'm using to preach, everything. But this same technology can be the voice of your rebellion. This is why the man that gave us Microsoft said what? There is no God. And we are using what he did to us to preach God. So, not just an act, it's a consciousness. The same way, don't forget, remember what the children of Israel say in the book of Numbers? They say onion and cucumber. So, it's onion and cucumber and garlic. Are they bad? Are they evil? But imagine, God is taking you somewhere. You are saying, onion, cucumber, cold stone. Abi?
Domino pizza.
Amen. What happened to Lot's wife? You are leaving a place. But the voice of your rebellion was louder. She went back. So it's not the actions you are seeing. No? That is why all those Galatians 5:20, those works of the flesh, is not referring to a believer. No believer makes a profession of those things. Anyone that can make those things a profession is not born again. Profession is, don't get what I mean by profession. I don't even mean something you are using to get money. I didn't say job. I'm saying something you are using to run away from God. Do you get that? God told us himself to receive food with thanksgiving. As I made a post 2 nights ago on Facebook, I said, I didn't know the issue of believers that ate pork. Amen? Maybe you are just influenced by the Islamic agenda. Stop to influence from Muslims. You say you ate pork. I have to learn it when I start learning doctrine. I learned to eat it and now I'm an expert. Amen. Praise God. I'm delivered by the word. The Lord sets free. Makes free indeed. Amen. Let me ask you this one. What of love? What of what we call love? Let's say God is love, everything. You know, love can be the reason. Getting a babe who can be a reason why some people can run away from a church like this. Love. Love. That's serious. Very serious, actually. When I saw the possibility, I said, wow. You will see some people in the middle, some men. I don't know how men know. There is a program that you should do in that Love FM in Port Harcourt. Call it Arts to Arts. They will now, 2 a.m., they will now be telling story of, somebody went, divorced, the father raped her, this, blah, plenty stories. Do you have any advice for the girl? You now see grown-up men, that ought to be sleeping or at least preparing to go to work or something, making call. This is what I think. I just be talking. Some of them, you will beg them to call the phone. A fiction, at times. Some people, anytime, that is why, anytime, I don't know. Oh God. And you know this is common to youths. To youths. You want to go partying, right? Clubs. Then take me out. Just take, come on, take me out. Home for BG, you can't. All night jiving. The issue is not the love. God, like. He gave someone 1,000. Sorry, I said he gave. You know what I mean by he gave? Passive. Thank you. But what are you using it to do? That is why if you are learning doctrine like this and you still have that passion to go and marry somebody from the diaspora, somebody from the ignorant diaspora, I don't know your issue. An Arab prince, right? I was trying to treat you like a queen. Oh. Now, that may look, let me tell you another one that can look so harmless. What a family. You may not understand this. I do. I have friends. That can devote. I have to switch off microphone. You know, I have people that they can devote all their life. Just, I want to ensure, I want to ensure.
And you are, your baby is attending a school that is a million per term, a million. And your whole income is 1.2. You understand?
I'm serious.
No, the time is not, it's not monthly now. The time is once, so they pay once in 3 months, Abi. Or you pay. And you have people in need, and you know, you have families. No, such people like them now. Anytime they hear my preaching on tithe, they say yes, it's true. We should not be paying tithe. Why? The heart is somewhere else. Every holiday is constant. Let's go to Oklahoma. Let's go to, you know, let us travel. Now, this is the question. Is it wrong to travel? All of you will see travel in Jesus' name. Shut up, don't say amen. I'm not praying for. But family can just be what some people, that is all they can. Like, I put this on Facebook at times. Some people frown at me, say, how can I be saying, I said, come and look at my own family. I say, you think I'm not taking care of them? That's not what I'm saying. But this can also be the voice of your rebellion. What you are using. Praise God. What of work? What of career? What of the pursuit of money? That one is obvious, Abi. That one is just obvious. Funny enough, they are all good things. Hey. They are all good things, but they can be tools. They can be the tools of rebellion. They can be things that men ride away from God. Men ride on away from God. Never forget, the journey is the issue, not the vehicle. What you are using that love of family to do is the issue, not the love of family. What you are using, love. I want to just explore. You know, I'm young. You know, come on. Let me flex my life now. What you are using that thing to do is the issue, not the emotions. Emotions are given us of God. If you don't have emotions, you need to be prayed for. Funny enough, Abraham too, he had money. In fact, he sinned too. He had servants. But someone like Lot, he had almost the same thing Abraham had, and what he now had drove him to where? Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you get that? He allowed money to take him to a place like Sodom. He said, wow, can't you see the plane? You remember? Can't you see the plane? That plane, the plane is fine. And in being there, he now vexed his own righteous soul day by day. Until he brought judgment on those ones. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 7. 31. So, check the last part again and see that there was no evil in creation. Man did not pursue evil. Evil came out of the pursuit of good that God created. Out of the pursuit of good away from God. The pursuit of good things, but away from God. Praise God. So, 1 Corinthians 7:31. I want everyone to just read this. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 7:31. Want to go? And they that use this word as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Wow. Can you see that? That would mean Christians must know how to use the things of this world without what? Abusing it. Every good thing has an abuse, okay? Has an abuse. We must not use it as a tool of rebellion. Now, okay, so let's start wrapping it up. So, but in all, despite all Adam did, we saw that, for instance, despite all that was happening in the ages of Noah, we saw God did his best to ensure that judgment did not come. We saw that yesterday, right? In the life of Methuselah. That God did his best to ensure man does not get what he's looking for. that he does not get that destruction he's looking for. We saw that from 2 Samuel chapter 14. Two. So man will go his own way, but God will keep coming after him. God was always after man. Man will go his own way, and in fact, he will blame God for the repercussion he gets. Imagine. Man will go his own way. What he sees on his own way, he will blame it on God. Funny enough, God took responsibility. Man blames God for the consequence of his own action. Guess what? God still takes the blame. God still takes the blame. Funny enough, in that garden, Adam said, "It is the wife that you what gave me." Did God say you are wrong? But was he right? No. But God never said he was wrong. God just looked at the serpent, judged the serpent immediately. He didn't question the serpent. Why? Because the serpent only responded to man. And you know that was against his makeup. Anyway, and of course in redemption, you know that the judgment of Satan was in the judgment of man. Later. So, God never replied. He never countered Adam. He never countered man. He said, "It's the woman that you gave me." That was wrong twice. No, it was not the woman. No, it was not the one that gave him. Sorry, it was the one, but you know, I remember it was not the one. I have to get this to respond to understand what. And that's how did man create his own body? How did man create Eve? Even the thing was there. The how it works, it was there. So, things that the devil did, like in the book of Job. Job blamed it on God. What did God do? He took responsibility. He said, "Okay, no problem." That is love. Hey. Why? He's always there. To the man in rebellion, he is there. God was never man's enemy. It was man that was at war. One-sided war. Amen. Isaiah 53 verse 4. "Surely he has borne our griefs." One-sided war. God took the blame that was not his. "Surely he has borne our grief, carried our sorrows." Imagine our grief, our sorrow, right? He took it all. "Yet we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are saved, we are healed. Verse 6, and all we like sheep have gone where? Astray. We have turned what? Everyone to his own way." That's the main issue in that chapter. "Everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before as shearers is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. 10, yet it pleased the Lord to what? To bruise him. He had put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for man's sin." So it's not, Jesus was not an offering to God. It was an offering for sin. "He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant..." Of course, we think it was God that would be satisfied in verse 11. Sorry, it's not God. "By his knowledge shall my what? Righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity." Are you with me? "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the what? Transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Amen, amen. So the death of Jesus, I wrote in my notes here, it was more of a demonstration of God, not a requirement of God. Not something that God is requiring. Not God saying, "Now I want my own pound of flesh." But it was rather a demonstration of God's love to man. God has never counted man's sin against him. Whether in the Old Covenant, New Covenant, nope. Funny enough, a lot of things that Jesus passed through was because of what things that Moses said. You see that later, not in this series anyway. So, back to Romans 5 verse 8. There are a lot of things that Jesus actually passed through was because of what Moses said. Yeah, because I've got to fulfill that law. Romans 5 verse 8. Amen, amen. But God commended, say commended. His love towards us in that while we are what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than being just now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That word commended there, that is a Greek word, sunistao. Sunistao. S-U-N-I-S-T-A-O. Commended. S-U-N-I-S-T-A-O. It means God approved. God introduced. God exhibited. He demonstrated, he displayed, he introduced, he exhibited his love towards us in that what? While we are yet what? Sinners. Christ, what did he do? He died for us. Say the death of Christ was a demonstration of God's love. Say God was never looking for his own pound of flesh. He is not looking for the death of any man. Say, but rather, he demonstrated his love towards us by going to the extremes to save us. Hallelujah. So it's not God requiring blood. No, it is sin. The death of Christ was not to God. It was for sin. It was for man's rebellion, not for God. So it's not, the blood was not offered to God. It is offered for sin. It's called a sin offering. It's to sin. For man's rebellion. Oh, but glory to God, today we are in reconciliation. Amen. We are no more in condemnation. We are in reconciliation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say God. Say Genesis. It's not mysterious to me. Okay, thank you. I'm done with that. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Vati the roster. Vati the. Oh, glory.